Johnny Mac, poolside again with today's Daily Comedy News. Chelsea Handler is filling in for Jimmy Kimmel this week. She said she'll be here all week long, or at least until Republicans make it illegal for women to talk. Wow. The comedians did respond to Roe v. Wade. It'll be a lot of today's episode. Chelsea Handler said Jimmy is off right now doing whatever the hell he wants with his body. Remember like 5 days ago when Fox News told us the biggest threat facing America was drag queens? That was cute. At this point, I'd probably have more rights if my vagina was an AR-15. And not only has this decision further divided our country, most families now have two separate group texts going, one with relatives who support the rights of women and one with the relatives who live in Florida. Stephen Colbert said, so, reproductive rights in America lasted for less time than the Young and the Restless. Trevor Noah, I feel like any moment now Chuck Schumer is going to throw on a fake pregnant belly and just take a knee at the Capitol and be like, we're all pregnant now and we're standing together. More from Trevor. The 6-3 ruling overturning half a century of precedent was especially crazy when you consider that countries like Mexico and Ireland are moving forward in the opposite direction. You realize how weird that is, right? Ireland has had violent conflicts between Christians and other Christians, and even they're looking at America like, don't you think you're taking this a wee bit too far with the Jesus stuff? And Trevor had a poem for the Democrats, which was Roses are red, violets are blue. The people voted, so now how about doing your effing job passing laws to codify contraception, marriage equality, and all the other rights the Supreme Court is basically threatened to take away? And so are you. James Corden's show is coming from the UK. He taped his outside UK Parliament and said, for the past 8 years, I've been living, working, and raising my young family in America. It's a place I love, but you don't need to live in the United States or even have an American child as I do to feel utter disgust and anger at the news of the Supreme Court, where six politically appointed judges could make a decision that ends the constitutional right to abortion across America, a woman's right to choose what happens to her own body, wiped out in a moment. I'm struggling to get my head around any of this. To say I'm outraged and devastated would be an understatement. It's incomprehensible that in 2022, we should have to even say out loud that women should be entitled to control their own lives and bodies, let alone live in a country that won't allow it. If only the American leaders on the right would care and fight as much for the rights of women as they do their guns. Seth Meyers said, I was angered, saddened by the news. And before we get started, I just want to be clear that abortion is not only a women's issue. It's not only a pregnant person's issue. It's everyone's issue. We all benefit from reproduction freedom and from access to legal and safe abortions. I think it's possible that men hear my body, my choice, and we take away the message that it's not our issue to speak about. But it's everybody's job to advocate for reproductive rights. So I asked my writers, Amber Ruffin, Jenny Hagel, and Allie Hoard, what I could do to help. And they said, you can start by shutting up, because when something like this happens, we should center the voices of people who are most affected by it. Seth then gave the floor to Amber Ruffin, Jenny Hagel, and Allie Hoard. They all donned bands off our bodies pins, and they welcomed the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood, Alex McGill Johnson, to engage in a discussion about the Supreme Court ruling. Later in the show, Myers aired a sketch that was filmed after the draft decision of overturning Roe v. Wade. He said, we wrote a sketch and filmed it last week because unlike, I don't know, the Democratic leadership, we saw this coming. Trevor Noah raised the point that the Constitution didn't change. The only thing that changed is Donald Trump, of all people, managed to appoint 3 pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. He then turned his attention to Clarence Thomas, saying, as if the overturning wasn't bad enough, Justice QAnon himself, Clarence Thomas, wrote that he wants the court to reconsider the right to gay marriage, gay sex, and contraception. Yeah, imagine that. This dude is so extreme. He's talking about banning rights I didn't even realize could be banned. From the LA Times, over the weekend, comedians stepped on stages across Los Angeles to rally, rage, and roast in the name of reproductive rights. One of the comedians leading the charge was stand-up star Eliza Schlesinger. She had been already set to headline the stage at the pro-Roe comedy show at the No Fuss Comedy Bus stationed in North Hollywood. When she got back from a stop in Windsor, Canada, things had changed. She told the LA Times, there's something so profoundly unnerving about taking off with the world one way and landing to it in a new and horrible way. I want to scream. My insides feel cold. I feel profound rage and sadness. I was with my tour manager and opening act, Hunter Hill, and we just sat silently with heavy sighs because we all felt so powerless. When comic and show producer Taylor Bugs Streets left the house Saturday morning, 150 tickets had been sold for the pro-road tour put on by the No Fuss Comedy Bus, which is a roaming comedy club that's parking itself near the corner of Lakersham and Victory Boulevards every other Saturday for the next month. By the end of the night, more than 200 seats were filled with standing room only capacity. Schlesinger said, people need to heal and they need to feel seen and they need to feel heard. If there was ever a moment to unleash and be unabashed, it's this one. Meanwhile, across town, Mary Lynn Rice Cub joked, you know when you're on a plane and there's one wanted baby? Imagine being on a plane with 10 unwanted babies. Let's have more effing babies. That'll work out real well. Laura Peek joked about having to respond to anti-abortion family members who ask, what if you had been aborted? Peek fires back, I'd be having a nice time not talking to your dumbass, Uncle Rick. It would be a nice life. Jordan Jensen went a little dirty. I'll just read this verbatim from the LA Times. I know I'm going to take a lot more C-blank shots to the face now that abortion is off the table. Think about it. You'll figure it out. Lori Kilmartin said, I recently did one abortion joke on MSNBC and got dozens of death threats after it was posted on right-wing sites and Fox News. I currently have a bit about how great the 70s were for American women, partially because of abortion rights. Obviously, I gotta tweak it. My next road gig is in Ohio. I'm planning on doing all my abortion jokes. Sarah Schaefer is currently working on a solo show about the cultish nature of the comedy business, as she's been researching and thinking about a lot of the false promise of the American dream and the lack of true equality that's put on display time and time again. She says she's trying to articulate the visceral emotion of that feeling you get when a group of elected officials sing God Bless America while just across the way a crowd of people protest the Roe decision and the freedoms they just lost. Right now I'm working on ways to connect these larger themes in my show. I don't even know if it's possible, but I'm going to try. Comedian Nick Nemiroff died suddenly Monday. He was 32 years old. A statement on Instagram read, it is with profound sadness that we announce the sudden passing of our beloved brother, Nick Nemiroff. Nick's dedication to stand-up comedy was formidable and produced amazing results. He drew acclaim in Canada and the U.S., becoming both a comics comic and a hit with crowds who were enamored by his unique cadence, a labyrinth deadpan, and fresh take on misdirection-driven comedy. If Nick was on a comedy show, he was guaranteed to leave with new fans, and he deserved to, because comedy was, in many ways, his life. Endlessly sweet, supportive of others, humble about his many skills and achievements, Nick lived his life doing what he loved, and that is how he'll be remembered. R.I.P. Nick, we love you. Chloe Feynman posted, one of the greats, Sarah Sherman, wrote, funniest, sweetest guy ever. As I record this, funeral services have yet to be announced, but the family requests that donations in his honor be made to Planned Parenthood. The page states, one of the last things Nick did was donate money to Planned Parenthood. Nick has an album called The Pursuit of Comedy Has Ruined My Life. Ahead of the record's release, Nemiroff hoped fans would laugh a lot and get my jokes stuck in their heads the same way I did when I listened to old Mitch Hedberg albums. My biggest hope, however, is that they leave the album thinking I'm hot. If you enjoy what I do here, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Now, a few months back, Kenny bought me a coffee and suggested I visit the Starbucks. And that time, Kenny and I have been chatting about it. Here I am. I'm in Southern California, and we are walking into Starbucks. Let's listen. Hi, how are you? Got a venti salted caramel cold brew, please.
Grande java chip frappuccino, please.
So one thing I learned at the Starbucks is my name is now Sean, but that's fine. All right, let's take a sip of the salted caramel. It's delicious. Thank you, Kenny. So for everybody out there who wants to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can put $5 in the tip jar. Now, what happens, apparently, is I'll wait 3 months, and instead of going to the Starbucks in my neighborhood, I'll fly 3,000 miles and go to one in Southern California. But in the end, it's all good.
GQ has a big profile of John Early and Kate Berland. Looks like the press machine is out for those guys this week. Tons of articles about them. This one is called How John Early and Kate Berland Became the Secret Godfathers of Today's Alt Comedy. GQ writes, to this day, it remains an in-joke within the comedy scene that nearly every stand-up more alternative than Jim Gaffigan has cribbed their mannerisms and speech patterns from John Early and Kate Berland. They are the godfathers of modern alt comedy, with an entire generation from sitcom writers to TikTok stars still cashing the checks they wrote a decade ago. Once you see someone doing John and Kate impressions, you'll know. A cocked head, a widened eye, a feigned shock, sharp exaggerated movements, clearly grounded in formal theater training, all delivered with a wink that lets you know that they're performing. There's also the language. Berlant especially inhabits a liberal arts persona, wrapping her pettiness and self-obsession in the maddeningly obtuse vocabulary of academia. A lot of big words there. Their new special, Would It Kill You to Laugh, now on Peacock, I'm only hearing great things about that, is Early and Berlant at their most potent, disciplined vaudevillians with a piercing lens on narcissism, desire, and fear, a perspective that has rendered them not just wildly influential, but ideal foils for the selfie era. Would It Kill You to Laugh presents Early and Berlant as 90s-era sitcom comedians who suffered an infamous falling out, then revisit their relationship in a glossy TV special hosted by a smartly patronizing Meredith Vieira. When Berlant enters the mothballed set of their thinly veiled Will and Grace parody, He's Gay, She's Half Jewish, the entire sequence is a dead ringer for the unbearably earnest Friends reunion of last year. Their eye for detail is unmatched. In her roomy white button-down and thick-rimmed glasses, Berlant conjures an amalgam of Jennifer Aniston and Deborah Messing, the off-duty actress self-consciously suggesting a commitment to craft. Early in Berlant, wisely stray from mocking actors as simply divas, instead surfacing their neediness, a frantic search for approval in the eyes. I gotta watch this thing. Twitter has turned everyone into a comedian or pundit. Instagram has made us all photographers and brand partners. We're selling out. Early and Berlant have decided to be in on the joke in their wake. Many now attempt to let us know that they too are playing the game, from overwritten Netflix cartoons festooned with self-referential asides to nubile stand-ups with extended bits extolling their corporate pride sponsorships. Yet rarely is such performative narcissism... Did somebody get out the thesaurus to write this article? Yet rarely is such performative narcissism performative enough to escape the narcissism beneath it. I'm exhausted reading this. Rarely is it so observant, and rarely is it ever so funny. All right, that's in GQ. They like big words. I'm too exhausted to tell you about Cristela Alonso. That can wait till tomorrow. From Chortle, Spitting Image is coming back, live version. This time it focuses on Boris Johnson, but will also feature puppet versions of Tom Cruise, Harry and Meghan, and a bunch of others. You remember Spitting Image. The Brits are like, yeah, we know what that is. Americans, remember the Genesis video? I think it was for Land of Confusion with the Phil Collins as a puppet. That thing. Remember that? Yeah. The Spitting Images say, recent events made it doubtful if either Boris or Prince Andrew would be treading the boards, but after careful consideration, we are now able to reassure them both that their puppets are the kind of heartless bastards essential for our kind of refined satire. That GQ article wore me out. All right, that's your comedy news for today. I'm going in the pool. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.